Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next hour, Hill Notes, 9:20, so you got plenty of time to leave a voice note for us on the Odyssey app. You will see the microphone smack dab there on the Odyssey app, and talk away and get creative, and your voice note can be on anything that we have discussed or anything that we have yet to discuss on this morning's show, including, of course, Courtney, who is out sick today. Red Sox with a win last night. Patriots got to turn it around on Sunday, and of course the Ryder Cup getting underway on Friday, and the Euros do not like the way we heckle over here. So all of those potential topics for Hill Notes. We were in the middle of the news with Shime filling in for Courtney. What is next, Shime?
Well, Greg, I have an irrational fear for you here. It's funny, we were talking about cruise lines earlier. A cruise passenger got trapped in the water slide aboard the cruise ship. Mitch has a picture for you on YouTube.
While the thing was going?
Yep, sure was, Greg. If for whatever reason, like the tube kind of bended down and then came back up. And so a woman on a Norwegian cruise ship was enjoying her vacation, decided to use the water slide, and now she wishes she didn't because she got stuck and was in there for quite a bit. You could, if you see the TikTok video, she tries to like shimmy up and then come back down, and it was just a disaster.
Oh, like a weight issue? Did she eat too much?
No, she like you can see the picture. She's not like an overly large person.
Okay.
But you know, but
maybe not enough water in there, and the way that the way it's the angle of the tube is.
Maybe there wasn't enough speed.
I'm suing the hell out of that cruise ship.
I'm claustrophobic.
I would have been going crazy in that bitch. I'm suing the hell out of that.
Your first call would be to catch his law immediately.
Man, what?
No doubt.
I want $700 billion right now.
That's where you start.
That's where I start.
You'll negotiate.
I can't even close my eyes no more because of the PTSD.
Wiggy's got our friends at Catches on Speed Dive.
I would also say, like, I feel like there's an age limit for water slides. Like, I think those are for kids.
Really, they should be for kids.
Do you guys enjoy a good water park?
I would rather be kicked in the nuts than go to a water park.
That seems accurate for you.
I mean, do you enjoy a good case of hepatitis?
Right.
I mean, why are you asking?
I don't know. I was just curious.
Yeah, you'd have to really enjoy the feeling of, you know, shooting down a water slide. I'm with Curtis. I don't like rides anyways, and I don't want to be shooting that, especially in a tube. I feel claustrophobic in that, so I'm not a big fan of the.
As a youth, I loved the water parks.
Right, that's
so
what they're
curious.
For. I love it. Kids should go.
Okay.
Greg, Jimmy Kimmel was suspended, and now he's back. He returned to late night last night, and he was a bit emotional. We can hear from some of his opening comments last night in his return.
I've been hearing a lot about what I need to say and do tonight. And the truth is, I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it. I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't, ever.
Okay,
what
I mean,
that's cap.
So that's the way he's describing it is not what happened. I, you know, if that had been his monologue on the night of the shooting, there would have been no issue. Like, that's the way. Why wouldn't he say it that way instead of what he said?
Because it wasn't the thing that got him suspended when he referred to the shooter of being a MAGA person.
Yes.
All right. So, I mean, that's what you believe. So there's no need to come back now with the fake tears and just be
well,
like.
Well, that's what you're saying. He believed it at the time he said it, even though that wasn't factually true.
Right. Right. That's what I mean. But it wasn't factually true, but he believes it. And even if you tell him, he's still going to have, you know, in his mind, he has, like he said, he can't change people's opinions on what he says. But just like you people can't do that for you. You have beliefs that you're not going to change.
Yeah,
I wasn't here. I was, I think, in Vermont when this story broke. So I don't know how you all felt about it.
I thought it was stupid.
I think
that they suspended him.
You did?
Yeah, I thought it was stupid. I mean, I get that it's all, and I had said this, when you have bosses and you say slick stuff, you got to be careful because they don't want the backlash that could come that way. But I thought it was stupid. I thought he shouldn't have said, like, there was no facts on what political way this person was leaning. So for you to say that you believed he was representing MAGA, whatever it was, I thought, you know, it was stupid to say that, but I also thought it was stupid to suspend them.
Yeah.
I think in this role, I find people in the media that are calling for someone to lose their job based on something they say to be really silly. I don't agree with much of what Jimmy Kimmel says. I thought that was embarrassing last night. And so I would have not fired him. I would have just talked about it. Like, I just find the whole thing of just silencing someone you disagree with. It was a dumb thing to say, but it was a great encapsulation of many on the legacy media, which is they're interested in the motive up till and when that motive aligns with someone they disagree with.
Yeah.
The motive then becomes irrelevant, like it was last night with Jimmy Kimmel when he said clearly he was a disturbed individual. Of course he was a disturbed individual.
Yeah, we know that.
But it's the way in which we cover why someone does something is interesting to me. And the fact is like, it's also not about you, Jimmy. Like, coming out and making it entirely about yourself, if you got up there and you just said, I thought what Erica Kirk did at the celebration of Charlie Kirk's life on Sunday was nothing short of remarkable. The grace that she showed in forgiving the monster that murdered her husband was great. And tonight we're going to talk about whatever. Like, you don't even have to go back to it. People have made their opinion on you.
No.
You clearly were into this. I don't think you should lose your job based on things you say. I think the free market will dictate whether or not.
The free market will dictate it. I agree. He can say whatever he wants. Like, if people don't like it, they won't watch.
Right.
You
can't be enraged about cancel culture and then engage in it.
Correct.
And you got to know that.
Agree wholeheartedly.
And you got to know, like, my point was, like, unless you are the boss of what it is, you got to know, like, if you say something, there's a chance that the consequences could be that you could lose your job. Even though we don't think it's right, his boss is there for, what is it, ABC's on?
Yep.
So what's that, Disney? They might be like, we don't want this type of backlash coming our way.
Yeah.
And you got to realize that could come.
Yeah. All right. What's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, sources are telling. Actually, first of all, do you remember the viral Coldplay moment? The two individuals that were responsible for that, Andy Byron.
Who doesn't remember it?
I'm just making sure.
Viral moment of the year, perhaps.
Possibly.
When Courtney is in attendance at the Viral Moment of the Year Awards, which happened on TikTok.
Yes, of course.
Yes, go ahead.
CEO Andy Byron and the HR lady Kristen Cabot. Sources are telling People Magazine that apparently this Coldplay couple were actually just friends.
All right.
The source.
I have so many questions about that. Sure. Did they say just friends with benefits or like what?
So here's
they have a friendship where the man is standing behind her and clutching her around the middle.
Canoodling, as one would say.
And why are they just saying this now? It's months later.
It seems odd that it would come out at this point in time, Greg. But the source who is close to Kristen Cabot, by the way, I think that's important to note, said quote, Kristen and Andy had an excellent working relationship, a great friendship. There was no affair. It was inappropriate to be hugging your boss at a concert, and she accepts full responsibility for it. But the scandal, the downfall, the loss of the job, all of that is unfair. End quote.
That's just stupid.
This story is the most remarkable thing. It will not disappear.
No.
I mean, when did this happen? July?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, that wasn't a hug. That, yeah, that was a bit of a snuggle.
It wasn't a friend hug, no. I don't think.
No guy friend goes up behind a girl and wraps his arms around her in the front.
Nope.
No.
And
sways to the music.
Yeah. And pressed up on her. His region pressed up on her backside. Stop it. Stop it with this, like, you a friend. Stop it.
Okay. Well, appreciate the attempt by the source.
Yeah, we ain't suckers, though.
To help them out.
Yeah, she just wants a job is basically what the reason they're coming out about it. Right. Well, Greg, I believe now it's time for the dumbest of the day.
Stop being dumb.
And now, this woman is stone cold dumb.
I'm a dumbass.
The dumbest of the day.
Try again, dumbass.
Okay, Curtis, we listened to everything that happened yesterday, and we have determined that this may have been the dumbest of the day.
Yes. So, same day delivery services are great. You know, we love getting, I mean, not for Shime.
Right.
He's never had delivery.
No. We love the DoorDash or the whatever you use when it comes to getting groceries or getting food. Yes.
Right. But if you're planning a murder, it may not be the smartest thing to order your supplies through delivery from DoorDash.
Oh, probably not.
So this happened in Texas on Monday morning, where a DoorDash driver alerted police after making a very strange delivery. The delivery consisted of items that hadn't been released entirely, but word is the delivery included trash bags, zip ties, bleach, a hatchet, an autographed Dale Arnold jersey.
Not the jersey.
No jersey.
So the guy had an emergency murder that needed to take place, and he didn't have the
He didn't have time to go back and forth himself. He had to probably get the murder scene ready. A 42-year-old man named Neil Cooper was placed in order for these items on DoorDash, and the cops showed up to his motel room, which also red flag.
Right.
Neil refused to leave. They got a search warrant, found the parts that he had ordered for this murder plan, and he is in jail.
All right.
He's like, sorry to call back, but I need chalk for the body outline on the on the rug at the Motel 6.
Unbelievable.
Like, what a dummy. So he's been arrested.
He's arrested. Murder? You know, okay. I guess good news.
Yeah.
No murder, and he's arrested.
That's great. Then you get his deposit back on the room, or
I would hope not.
Okay.
I mean, that's not the motel's fault.
All right. He tried.
I mean, you have to.
I forgot the plastic gloves,
right,
too.
So you have to prepare. Yeah. Can you get me a giant tarp?
Yeah.
But who delivers a hatchet?
I guess if you get into stuff from Home Depot or Lowe's, DoorDash will deliver anything.
Oh my god!
Or, you know, whatever those services, they'll pick up anything that you
that
order.
That is wild. So, a win for DoorDash and a loss for Neil Cooper.
Although a delivery service opportunity here for Jackson, murder supplies maybe.
It's got to get into the dark web though.
Yeah. He could call it the Death Dash or something like that if you need any kind of supplies and an alibi. He'll throw that in for another $25.
And he could drive around the murder machine.
If somebody asks you 10 times if you want to go golfing and you say no every time, how is that person a douche not for asking you 11th time?
I don't know. I did after Jackson's lead this morning on the douche move ruling, I did get an email from somebody looking for a douche move ruling as it portends to a form of golf. If we have time for that coming up.
Sure.
Maybe in a little bit. All right. Is that it news-wise?
That's it today, Greg.
Great job, Shime. Thank you.
Good job.
On this show tomorrow morning, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football. They need a win, Curtis.
Huge one this week.
Big weekend at the Heights.
Cal's 3-1, right?
Yep. If they lose this, season down the tubes.
So Bill O'Brien at 6:45 tomorrow, and the Red Sox front office report, I'm assuming with Craig Breslow tomorrow at 9 on this show. And then it's a Patriots Friday. I'm assuming that Pop Douglas will still be on the football team Friday and will be our guest.
I hope he is, because I want to ask him about that situation. Like, do you not pre-snap know where the sticks are, especially on fourth and two.
What do you think he's going to say? He's going to chuckle and say, well, was it a design play?
Well, no, he said that he knew, but he wasn't really.
It was a play. It wasn't designed for anything.
It was designed to get a first down when he needed it on fourth down and two to win the football game. That's what it was designed for.
In that position, you know it. And so even if it's a route that maybe it's designed for you to go 1 yard to the flat and gain ground as you go, are you not thinking in your mind, all right, I'm going to cheat this and get beyond the sticks first? Like, so those are the things I'd like to ask him.
You had one job.
That's it.
That's it.
That is it.
Right. Why did you go backwards? Like, that's just a simple question. What, you caught the ball and you went backwards.
It was a play.
He's going to tell you that he was, his sixth sense said that there was a defender behind him. So, so he went backwards.
Just an awful loss. Wiggy said it. Just the worst.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been, you'd be potentially 3-1 going into the Bills game.
Right.
Now you're just.
Your confidence level would be different playing against Carolina. You know what I mean? Because they got Carolina this week, and your confidence level would be so different. And to know that, okay, we could go 3-1. Now we're going to Buffalo, which is a game that's going to be very difficult, but we have different type of confidence. This game, and Vrabel will be saying, hey, this game is probably for first place in the division, where they would be 4-0, you'd be 3-1. If you're able to beat them, perfect.
Well, you agree with this text, 508 text on the Subaru of New England text line, that Pop Douglas should be suspended for laughing about it alone?
Nah, I don't think he should be. I just think that, like, he has.
You don't think he should sit for that?
For laughing about it? No, I don't think he should.
I think he should sit because he's been bad.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to sit him, it's because of his performance.
Yeah.
Like, I don't sit him because he was laughing about it. I think Vrabel probably says to him, or whoever the leader in that locker room is, says, hey, listen, when you get in that situation, you know, just try not to laugh because it makes you look like you really don't care.
And I would also say if they lose.
It is that you don't care. It doesn't make you look like it.
Well, but if you don't care.
It was a play.
Right. Don't let people know that you don't care.
Right. We used to have a saying, like, when you didn't feel like you wanted to come out here to practice, you know, make it seem like you wanted to be out here a million times over. Put a smile on your face, run around, be happy, but maybe deep down inside you're like, man, I don't want to be out here. Let them believe that you want to be there.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And I would, if they lose Sunday, which I don't think they will, but if they do, it will be 5 consecutive seasons starting 1-3. The last time they did not start 1-3, their quarterback, Cam Newton, in 2020.
They cannot lose to Carolina.
Must win.
This is a must win.
Yeah, and
because you'll be 1-4.
It'll be great. Again, because you'll be going to Buffalo. But I believe they win. But do I have 100% confidence in them? No.
Yeah. I just don't know that you need Pop Douglas. Like, I don't know that you need to worry. And why don't you give your guy a shot, Shime?
Kyle Williams?
Efton Chisholm.
I would love either of them to get a shot. Like, I think, I mean, in my opinion, Efton gets that first down. Like, it's just, but honestly, like, if you're playing a 3-receiver set right now, Pop shouldn't be out there. It should be Diggs, Hollins, and Booty is who it should be. Like, based on the way they've played, that gives you the most versatility in a 3-receiver set right now.
And that's mainly because Josh McDaniel loves the 2 tight ends, or he loves the fullback out there. Pop is like an add-on guy. But, I mean, just I guess maybe they look at their receiver core and they're like, all right, we don't really have anybody. Because even with Booty, right? Booty was very quiet in that game.
Yeah, he didn't. I think he only had like a catch or two.
Yeah, so it's like
that big one over the middle.
I don't have an issue with him so far. Like,
I don't have an issue. I'm just saying that they might be looking for somebody to make plays.
And you had an issue. Didn't you have an issue with Pop Douglas last year in London?
No.
Like,
no.
Wasn't he out the night before or something?
No,
that was someone else.
That might have been Booty.
Or
Baker.
Baby Baker. Okay.
Might have been Baker, yeah.
Who's no longer on the team.
Yeah. Like, you never had no issues with
got some bad bangers and mash.
Yeah.
Maybe had one too many pints of Guinness.
It was a curfew, or maybe it was the fact that the family members were there. But you never had really any issues with Pop. You just expected him to be better than he is. Like, he was one of your better receivers last year, and now it's like,
All right.
And we all thought Josh McDaniels and Pop would be a marriage made in heaven. Like, yeah, those two guys, he's got that perfect skill set for the slot in the Josh McDaniels offense, and it's been...
There were a lot of questions, though, last year at times when it came to Pop with running the right routes and running them correctly. Yeah. And so maybe that's one of the reasons why you've seen a decrease in snaps for him this year and why he's in ways getting phased out. And then you have issues like this, which created even more.
And you know what part of running the right route also is making sure you understand you get to the right depth. And that is a massive thing in this situation. You got to know that in this situation, you have to get beyond. I don't care what.
You know who got to the right depth on that play?
I do know who did get there. Steph Diggs.
Have you reviewed the film?
I did review the film.
You know, Shime reviewed the film. He missed
but
that.
Shime has lost all credibility when it comes to when he sits here and tries to tell Ty Law, like, all right, the corner can make that play from that position. And Ty Law says, listen, it's much easier for him to undercut a ball than it is for him to turn and open to try to get back pylon. And Shime's like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, his credibility
maybe Ty Law is more right than me, but regardless.
Maybe.
Yeah. But
Shime,
that final play, the throw was not to Diggs.
Wait, this might be growth. So are you saying Ty's right?
Yeah. I'm saying he's not wrong. I'm saying he's not wrong.
See?
Right. Yeah, I might be a little bit wrong.
That would be like me saying, that would honestly be like me saying, you know what, Tatum probably should have did this, and then Bird going, no, he did the right thing, and me and going to Bird. No.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Larry Bird.
You don't know what you're talking about there.
Right, but I feel the same way. If I had a thought on Charizard, I would never tell Shime. Like, he's
Fair
the
point.
Expert. I would never be here sitting here telling him about how a furry would look. Or
that's a great point, Curtis.
What
Thank
anime
you.
Thinks so, about something.
So it's
are you suggesting that Shime is a furry?
I have more experience than you guys.
What?
Said I have more experience than you guys.
Oh, God. Wait. You have furry experience?
Greg, everybody has a past. Right.
We've never heard this before.
No, I'm just familiar. I'm intimate with the situation.
We are not up against it.
So you dress up?
Oh, great.
When was this experience?
No, I've never actually gone. Like, I just, you know, I may or may not know some people.
Oh.
Oh, we're shifting immediately.
Yeah, now you sound
this
like Courtney.
Disturbing.
Yeah, you know, you hang out with certain people, you learn some things.
What is your choice of animal?
No, I don't have a choice of animal.
Are you like a goat or like what?
No such thing.
A ferret? Like what?
I feel like he'd want to be an animal.
Definitely not a ferret.
Can walk on their hind two like a bear, like a goat. Now you're
now, Greg. Greg,
the hind leg thing is probably a part of it.
Do you remember the book Where the Wild Things Are?
Yes.
Yeah, more like that. Monstery.
Is that a children's book?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, like, so my lord, what
I mean,
is going
not
on
like the,
here?
I'm not turning the book sexual. I'm just saying,
Courtney,
you asked.
When Courtney's out sick, I didn't really ask. I asked in a joking manner. I didn't think you were going to answer in the affirmative.
You know.
So now it's more of a troll.
Are there any photos of this?
No, Curtis. No. You never leave evidence.
Well, I mean, the internet's everywhere.
They got the little flaps over there that can the front of it in front of the costume.
Oh right.
Yeah, you're gonna have to
in the
you
back
know.
Too. Yeah, make sure there's one in the back.
Yeah. So it's more like a troll than it is an actual goat, like some of those type of furries.
Yeah. All right. I would executive order, no further discussion of Shime being a furry, but it's
you
honestly,
brought it up.
It makes a lot of sense.
It explains
it really,
a lot.
It really does. Do you use the
wait until you see my Halloween
do
costume?
Use the litter box?
Oh,
no, Greg.
When you're in furry mode?
I'm civilized. Let's come on.
Okay.
It's more for fun than anything else.
Does Henry react funny when he sees you?
No, Henry's never seen it.
Okay.
Oh, you send Henry away for the weekend?
Yes.
Right, you do love birds?
Yeah, definitely.
When it's furry time?
Yeah.
Greg, you know.
You already know how the dog's going to react when he sees that. He's also going to be humping.
Oh, my God. You know, you work with people, you have no idea.
No,
I guess never know anything, Greg.
Learn something new every day.
Courtney's out sick. Let's get to Shime and to what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Nissan. Big win for the Sox last night as they beat the Blue Jays 4-1. Lucas Giolito had to grind through his start. He ended up going 4 2/3. He only allowed one run, though. Nathaniel Lowe went 2-for-2 in the game with two RBIs, including the go-ahead RBI single in the sixth. We can hear from Nathaniel Lowe after the game, talking about who helped him get his swing back, how he got it back, as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
I came in pretty excited. We got together last night, got the guys together, went to dinner, had a good time with everybody there. And then, you know, been really grinding with the staff here. And even Bregman gave me some pretty big cues as far as when to get ready and how to fix up some of the errors that I've been making so far. So I'm really happy with other players and staff here that are putting me in a position to help contribute.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. The Sox are back at it tonight with the Blue Jays in Toronto. 7:07 first pitch with Garrett Crochet on the mound opposite Max Scherzer. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcand at 6:07 for the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. Some bad Sox news, though, as they try to get ready for the playoffs. According to Craig Breslow, Roman Anthony has quite a bit of room to go before he can start baseball activities. And with 5 games left, the Red Sox currently sit in the second wild card spot, 1 game up on the Detroit Tigers, who have lost their division lead to the Cleveland Guardians. The Ryder Cup opening ceremonies have been moved up to today as they expect some inclement weather Thursday at Bethpage Black. So they'll do all the ceremonies and stuff today. The opening day pairings for Friday, though, will still be revealed tomorrow afternoon. And your Boston Bruins got a 5-4 overtime win in their second preseason matchup, this time against the New York Rangers. That's what's trending now.
A fellow listener is looking for your help when it comes to a douche move ruling as it relates to golf. So we will get to that, among other things, next on the Greg Hill Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our queen is out sick today, hopefully back tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, Bill O'Brien, head coach of Boston College football, and the Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow at 9. I believe Craig Breslow tomorrow. Magic number at 3. You win again tonight, and you got this baby locked and loaded, Curtis.
Oh.
And you come home, and you can win one. You got Garrett Crochet ready to go Tuesday next week. And you're locked and loaded. Yankee Stadium is most likely where you end up.
And we could have a big watch party in Newport.
Oh, yes,
Thursday night.
Thursday
they could
night.
Be clinching big must-win yes. game 3 of the 3-game series.
Yeah, we're doing the show next Friday, week from this Friday, in Newport. And we would love to see you there, all a part of the Audrain Newport Concourse Motor Week. We will be joined on the show by Jay Leno, who I cannot wait to talk to about Jimmy Kimmel.
What will we ask him? I mean, there's nothing to
yeah, so it should be really, really interesting. I thought Jay was great on the show last mm-hmm. year, and so he will be back again, and we can't wait to see you in Newport, Rhode Island. We should open up the Window World of Boston weather window for Curtis Scheim, if we can. Curtis, what do we got today? I know it's kind of miserable out there now.
Yeah, it's a little wet out there today. So, but good news for allergies, you should get the pollen gone.
Oh, good. All right, so Courtney will be able to recover and
yep.
be back tomorrow.
65 degrees and cloudy, afternoon high 68, going to be rainy most of the day. Nothing crazy, no significant downpours, but just a pain in the ass light rain most of the day.
Okay, you can get a whole house full of windows installed for $99 a month from Window World of Boston, and not just windows. They have siding, they have exterior doors, they have all of it. So go to windowworldofboston.com. Can I also get, for the listener, Robert, can I get a douche move ruling, please?
And now, another episode of Douche Move.
Ha, what a douche.
Appropriate, I guess, because it's Ryder Cup week. And so Robert on the email says, Greg, we had our company outing at Wild Animal Lagoon Mini Golf in Yarmouth last week. Sounds like a great place. I've never been. Never played the track. However, I need a douche move ruling because my coworker Brad brought his own putter.
All right.
Now, I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh, this is a very clear answer.
Yeah.
What's the answer?
Massive douche.
Really?
Oh, really? Wow. Hey,
you don't bring your putter to a putt-putt place.
I went the other way with it.
The quality of the putter is not so good. They have the, like,
yeah, the neither are the quality of the balls. It's the point of putt-putt. It's just supposed to be fun.
Yeah, but he's competitive, though, so I don't mind it.
Do you like the competitiveness?
Yeah, I like the competitiveness.
At a company outing.
That's
like the man, Brad, clearly wants to win.
Right. Yeah. If I'm the CEO of that company, I like his competitiveness.
Is there money on the line?
You're going to be like, Johnson, I need to see you in my office on Monday.
Yes, shows me a lot.
Let the record show, Greg wants to see you, Johnson.
You got some real go-get-em in you.
Yeah. Hey, got a couple extra assignments for you. You know what? I could see you climbing up the corporate ladder relatively quickly.
Yeah, or he's like, I want nothing to do with that guy.
Yeah. You're a total and complete loser if you bring your own putter to a putt-putt.
Yes. You are?
You are a gigantic tool bag.
Massive.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what if
Who's
you were...
Who's competitive about putt-putt?
I mean, same
it's
way...
It's not for you. Like,
but
what a
people
loser.
Are competitive about bowling. They bring their own balls.
Yeah, you know what I'd say? You're a loser, Ken.
Wow.
I'm competitive about bowling, too, but I don't bring my own ball or my own shoes.
Well, then you're not competitive.
I wouldn't compare big ball bowling to putt-putt, because that's, like, legit.
That's a popular company outing is bowling.
Right.
And if there's a guy or a gal in the office... And they're in a bowling league or something. Wouldn't they bring their own ball? I mean,
but I'm saying that bowling and putt-putt are different. Putt-putt is a thing for kids. Like, you hit the ball, you got the windmill. Like, it's not real.
Some of these courses are very
clown.
Isn't Tiger Woods building a kind of putt-putt course?
Well, he's doing like an indoor golf thing. Like
he also has
A sim golf thing.
Well, he also has like a Top Golf putt putt thing where you can go and you can drink and play putt putt. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's building an outdoor.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger would probably bring his own putter. So maybe
he would not. Tiger is the most competitive athlete outside of Tom Brady, maybe I've ever seen. There is no shot he brings his own putter to a putt putt.
Tiger's putter's been in the news enough. We don't need to bring it up right now.
Also true.
Okay, as is the case when we get a douche move ruling, everybody weighing in on the Subaru of New England text line. Need to know whether Brad won the putt putt tournament. Great question. Did Brad bring his own Pro V1? Another great question. Mm-hmm. Bring your own ball?
I would bring my own ball.
Well, I mean, you have the red, you have the green. You have
well, then technically you can't finish because a lot of those courses, the 18th hole is the tube that collects all the balls. So then you'd lose a Pro V1.
That's all right, but I wouldn't mind it. I know I need my ball for the course.
A hard hole like that doesn't want to lose a Pro
V1. If you come ready to go with a Pro V and your own putter, you have nothing to do in life. You are just someone who sits inside. You're like the 40-year-old virgin.
Some of those putt-putt courses is very difficult when it comes to putting. You got to be able to, you know, get
right
around
putter.
Certain things.
Ricochet.
Yeah, those are very, very difficult.
Right.
So
I can't believe you, of all people, don't find this to be douchey.
I don't mind the competitiveness. It's like somebody showing up to, you know, play pickup basketball with double knee braces, ankle braces on. That's bingo. You know. Elbow sleeve, like the competitiveness, I got no issues with it. Somebody's trying to win.
Yeah.
No, I got no issues with it. I mean, I like the competitiveness. I mean, that shows me that this guy's willing to go deep. You think Brady wouldn't bring his own putt-putt as competitive as he is?
Well, he is very competitive,
he
Tom
is
Brady.
Super competitive.
Wait, you bring up Brady, big morning on the Tom Brady 199 newsletter.
Oh, really?
He addressed all the criticism he's received.
Let's get to that coming up.
Yeah.
It just came out?
Just popped. Just dropped.
Okay. All right. So he addresses those who are critical of the advantage he might get when it comes to being exposed weekly to inside information.
All and right, so. He calls fraudulent on the greatest coach of all time as it pertains to his number one slogan and where that originated.
Really?
Very interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, we will get to that coming up next. So we're all in on douche move when it comes to Brad, unfortunately.
Gigantic douche.
Okay. All right, Robert. You have your answer. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Red Sox with a win last night in Toronto, game two of this series tonight, and Alex Cora will talk about that and the impending Major League Baseball playoffs this afternoon on the WEEI afternoon show at 2:30.
Love it.
And, of course, you can leave a Hill Note on Red Sox playoff baseball on the New England – did I say Hill Mail? Hill Note. On Sox, Patriots, Courtney being out sick. What else have we discussed this morning? The DoorDash furry. Delivery, the Shine being a furry, DoorDash delivery on everything you need to commit a murder, whatever the topic. Our continued ban on Twitch, which Ken has clarified. Ken sent that long letter from Twitch,
yeah,
which doesn't really explain anything. Right. Apparently it's a 7-day ban. So... I don't know. We apparently it's a global ban. It's not just a local ban or a national ban. It is a global ban. And based on a review of our activity or content, it's a global suspension for 7 days. So
awful.
And obviously, if there are repeated violations, we may never be allowed back on Twitch ever again.
Wow.
So. Just a heads up to everybody.
Yeah.
So, but we're fortunate to still be able to have the cooperation of YouTube, so you can watch this show on YouTube. The varying chats, Shime, I don't know if you've noticed this, very territorial. The difference is glaring between the two chats.
Yeah, people are very particular about which streaming. Site they participate in.
Correct. Yes.
And so when you enter their chat, but you're normally from Twitch and you're entering their YouTube
correct.
Chat,
mm-hmm.
they like to, you know, mark their territory.
Yes. All right. Yes. Now, I'm wondering if some kind of a meld will occur during these 7 days, and will the former Twitch devotees now become YouTube devotees when it comes to the chat, just specifically the chat. Not the way in which you watch a show. Like, you might find the quality to be better on Twitch or YouTube. I don't have an opinion on either.
Like, we're all in the same gang type thing
correct.
No,
like,
I don't.
Will they adapt and adjust to their new surroundings? That's my question.
I think people hate change, Greg, so I would say no.
Yeah.
You think they'll go back to Twitch?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they're both really happy places. I think
yes, they are.
Super.
Yes, they are.
Overwhelmingly.
I mean, listen, it's an ongoing debate on everything. Including not limited to what's going
Twitch.
On the, what's going on in the show, but everything.
Right.
Okay. Now, not surprising in the least, but you are a subscriber to Tom Brady's manifestation email or whatever it is
that
he sends out, and you got yours this morning.
I sure did.
And a couple things stuck out to you. How often does Tom Brady send out the life changing, life affirming email?
I think it's weekly.
Okay.
I read the beginning of this, and I took note, and then I understood it to be a long dissertation regarding Tom Brady, the ethics of him being a limited owner with the Raiders,
yes.
talking to people in a production meeting. And so he separates this into reflection and how he's analyzing everything. It's a really long newsletter, but the beginning was noteworthy to me. It says, reflection. At the Patriots, Bill Belichick had a saying that was the core of his coaching philosophy. Do your job. The next sentence shocked me. He got it from Bill Parcells and passed it on to Nick Saban. I never knew that. That is, I didn't know that Bill, I thought Bill tried to trademark Do Your Job.
I think they've all trademarked. Didn't the Patriots trademark it?
Yeah.
They got all the sayings
over there.
Yeah.
Well, but Do Your Job!
It would make sense for the Patriots because Parcells was a coach there, but I thought it was Belichick that created the Do Your Job mantra.
I never knew who was the original on that. So interesting that
Parcells.
And so the next section of this lovely newsletter is application. And Tom writes, when you live through uncertain and untrusting times like we are today, it is very easy to watch a person's passions and profession intersect and to believe you're looking at some sort of dilemma. Because when you're blinded by distrust, it's hard to see anything other than self-interest. So this is Tom, feels like an attack against me. This is Tom saying that the broadcast and the football limited partnership, they intersect, but it is not a conflict of interest because the only people that would say that are blinded by distrust.
So he's suggesting like a projecting thing.
Right.
Like if somebody in a relationship accuses you of cheating.
Right.
They are most likely the one that is doing the cheating.
Right, right.
Huh.
So
who he's going after? Boomer and Marcus Spears?
I think he notes it's pretty interesting. He goes, people who are like that, Boomer, Esiason, and others, he doesn't quote anybody by name.
It's abhorrent.
Yeah, Marcus Spears, particularly to a chronic pathological degree, are telling on themselves. They're showing you their worldview and how they operate. They're admitting that they can only conceive of interests that are selfish, that they cannot imagine a person doing their job for reasons that are greater than themselves. And then he ends it with the parentheses, these kinds of people make horrible teammates. I wonder who he's referencing. It might rhyme with Antonio Brown.
It's abhorrent.
So just to be clear, he's essentially saying, you can all suggest that I might be getting inside information and that might help my Raiders team that I'm an owner of, but I am too good of a person to ever let that happen. I'm the wrong person to accuse of anything like this.
Well, we know he's given whatever information he's given. He's obviously given it to the Raiders.
He's telling you he's not. He's not giving any information at all.
Come on, Tom.
You're the bad person for thinking it.
But Tom, we know you're better than that. You're super competitive. So any edge that you get, you're picking up the phone and you're calling Pete Carroll and saying, hey, you know what? Just be aware of this. I think the reason why people get their undies in a bunch is because of the video of him sitting in the press box. So, bingo.
With the coordinators.
I think that's where people are like, if Tom was never there, I think people maybe have an issue, but it's not as big of a deal. I think it's the perception of him sitting in there where people are like, uh-oh, this isn't good for the NFL.
Yeah.
So he ends with a lesson if you want to finish there.
Yeah.
As a broadcaster, I want everyone who tunes into Fox on Sunday afternoons to feel like they got their money's worth for 3 hours, that they entrust our entire team. Those are precious hours for busy, hardworking people. We owe them a return on that investment, which is to do our job to the very best of our abilities. For me, it's to entertain and inform and help create a great viewing experience by drawing on the deep well of knowledge and wisdom I have gained from playing football at a high level for 30 years. Mm. And so it doesn't feel like anything's going to change.
No.
But
I love the guy, but he brought it on himself. You can, but once you sit in the coach's box next to the coaches,
is it a douche move if he brings his own headset?
It's abhorrent.
It is abhorrent.
But isn't that the thing? Like when we make fun of the Colts owner for being down there on the headset, like when something...
Right, there's a little bit of a difference there, Wade.
No. I'm not saying there's not a difference.
There's a gigantic difference.
But the thing is the view, the perception. When's the last time you've seen an owner of a team sitting in the coach's box? Never seen Jerry Jones sitting in the coach's box.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.